Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Friday afternoon. We're not too far away from tip-off. It's the Sydney Kings taking on the Adelaide 36ers. That game over in Adelaide, they then finish with a game on Sunday against Perth. So very important matches. They're finished top of the table. It's a credit to them, the team, the coach, the ownership group, and of course to the CEO, Chris Pongrass, who is joining us on the line from Adelaide. G'day, Chris.
G'day, mate. Thank you for having me on.
Absolute pleasure. What does it mean? You are now top of the table, 19-7, the record with these two games to play and can't be surpassed. But I know the championship last year, and that's probably the aim again this year, quite obviously. But what does it mean then to be minor premiers?
It's great. You know, we were lucky enough to be minor premiers in 19-20 season. But from what we've seen in years past, it's one thing to win that, but everyone's just focused on trying to chase a championship, because as we saw last year, Melbourne United were minor premiers that got bounced in the semi-finals from Tasmania. So, you know, it's great to achieve that and be in a position to have home court advantage in the semis and hopefully the grand finals and to skip the play-ins. So we're thrilled about it, but, you know, we turn our heads on now focusing on the road ahead.
Yeah, so there's that very team-focused attitude that you're talking about there. But then I'm going to make mention of some of the individual awards that some of the Kings players and coaching staff are up for. And is it hard to not get distracted by this, Chris? I'm talking about Chase Buford, who's a nominee for the NBL Coach of the Year, and Xavier Cooks, who's a nominee for the Andrew Gaze MVP of the Year. Is it, or are they professional enough to not let them distract them?
No, I think they're both professional enough to not let it distract them. I mean, it's always great to be recognised for your individual performances. But the one thing I love about this group is everyone's focused on team first mentality. I mean, you can tell by the minutes that our group play and the depth of our squad where, you know, our starting five, rarely are they playing above 30 minutes, where you see some, you know, candidates from other teams, they're playing 35, 37 minutes a game. And Jay's averaging, I think, 25, right? So, again, it's a testament to their work ethic. But, again, great to be recognised. But I think they're just focused on the team-first mentality.
Okay, so that's great that they were recognised. What about the one who wasn't recognised? What's going on with Justin Simon? Have they been watching this one with their eyes closed, Chris?
Mate, one. You know, multiple. I think it's plural who might not be recognised. But, yeah, again, He's Justin, and arguably I think Zave and even Tim Suarez, I think, was one that should have been considered. We've got a great defending group, and there are a number of them around the league at the top defending teams that weren't listed in that. So I truly think that Justin could have easily taken out that award, but that's the way things go. There's snubs every year. You see it in the NBA and the All-Star games and voting, but it is what it is. It would have been great for him to be recognised, but I think, you know, in Justin's favour and Zay's and Tim's, I think it fuels them a little bit more to come out and prove how wrong people were.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because we've had Paul Smith, your owner, on the program a number of times. He sort of delights in it. I think Chase Buford, you get the sense he does as well. I know there's some of the players who delight in this Sydney hate that goes around the league, but does it come back to bite the team and the organisation when it comes to things like that?
Not at all. Not at all. Again, right. I think guys revel in, you know, talking to some of our guys about their favourite arenas to play in, and they love playing in loud rivalries and loud arenas, right? They love going to Perth. They love going to Tasmania, and even tonight's going to be just the same. So, you know, being able to silence the crowd and hit a big shot or win or lose in the close game, I think that just adds to the rivalry. You know, so for them, if they're not winning or they're not nominated and we win a championship, that all falls away.
Yeah. I want to talk about your home crowd. So it's been a record year this year for the Sydney Kings at Qdos Bank Arena. I was out there with Tommy Garlop for a number of games, the former Kings great, and he was talking about, it's really interesting for me, Chris. I'd love to get your thoughts on it. The crowd that used to go to the Entertainment Centre to watch the Sydney Kings is very different to the demographic that goes to watch at Qdos Bank Arena, but they're coming in great numbers. Do you get a sense that the Kings have maybe redesigned themselves and are now focused as a team for all of Sydney as opposed for some of Sydney?
That's, I think you're spot on there. You know, the demographic that we've seen, and I used to go to those games at the Entertainment Centre, and I loved it down there, but it was convenient to a lot of eastern suburbs more so, whereas, you know, we're largely western facing, but I still think now we're attracting people from different parts of greater Sydney. We've got these super fans that travel down to every home game from Hunter Valley. You know, it's great to see, but 75,000 people through the door in January, I mean, it's unheard of. And we play in the best arena, but I think we've got a great set of fans who, yes, they love winning. I think winning helps, but we've really redesigned our game day to be family friendly and it's enjoyable. You know, we play a great style of basketball that's exciting, and we've had some lucky close matches go in our favour with game-winning shots and close games throughout the fourth quarter that we've pulled away. So I think from an entertainment factor, that's one thing, but, you know, just for the fan base that we're building and consistency over the last four seasons, I think they can see, you know, what we're building and why we're building it. But it's a privilege to have such a strong fan base that want to get out and support our group.
I've taken my kids out there a number of times and they absolutely love it. You know, if they get seen on the big screen, it's like spoken about for the next week, Chris, which is, you know, maybe it's not the basketball that's getting them out there, but at least they're out there. The one thing I will say about this, and having been to sporting events, you know, everywhere in all different types of sports, that it seems like an abbreviated entertainment option at times. I know value for money because the tickets, we talk about it a lot on this program, $48 for a family is outstanding value. But has that been part of, forget about the actual basketball side of things, but has that been part of discussions around taking the 10-minute quarters to, say, 12 minutes as a lot of the other leagues are around the globe?
Yeah, you know, being able to be in the NBA, I would obviously love to see more basketball. But I think there's so many considerations here. The first being broadcast, right? It's one thing from a game day, but when you factor in 12-minute quarters, it becomes probably more than a 2.5-hour broadcast product, which a two-hour time slot I know works with our broadcasters. So if the league's ever going to make that call, I think it's in conjunction with our broadcast partners. And then also the you know, an extra 8 minutes per game, while it doesn't seem like much, I think that's an extension of the playing roster. You need to be able to have more guys, you know, because players need to be robust, right? Like, we need to have a greater depth of talent on that's able to hit the floor. There's been a number of teams succumbed to injury this year, and I think that's a big factor in it. But for our crowd, I'm sure they would love to see more basketball, right? So that's something I'd love to see, but I know that, you know, there's no urgency around it because the product we've got right now is truly fantastic.
So, Chris, give us an understanding too, and you might have to go to the Ticketek website, but dates, the play-in tournament, when do we next see the King? I think there's a FIBA weekend in there as well. When do we next see the Kings out on the court?
Oh, mate, I'm chasing that down daily. So the good news for us is we get to skip the play-in. While I know that our fans would love to see more basketball, I think that they're happy enough that we're guaranteed home court advantage for the semifinals. So we know that we're playing the week of February 13. So, you know, we don't know exactly when in that week, but it's probably going to be early to middle of that week. For a game one, then we obviously play on the road in game two, and ideally we're able to get it done in two, but if we're chanced enough to have a game three, then you're probably looking at that over that weekend period. You know, and then the FIBA break comes. And then after the FIBA break is when they're planning on playing the grand final series. So again, there's a lot of different models, and I think it's challenging for the league because there's scenarios where we still don't know who the six teams are that are going to make the play-in, and we definitely don't know the four that are going to actually make the finals. And I think the finals still are those four teams, but you know, that's the one thing that it'll obviously come down to our match against Perth and Melbourne's match against Adelaide on Sunday that will dictate the seeding, which then dictates dates for planes, and it's kind of like a domino effect. But purely, you know, I think Kings fans can be assured that that week of February 13, be ready, because as soon as we know the date, we're going to be jumping on sale and ready to get another 15, 16, 17,000 people packed into Kudos.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I'll ask this question very carefully, knowing that the owner of the Perth Wildcats is the owner of this radio station. So without getting too far ahead of ourselves, Adelaide tonight and then the Wildcats on Sunday, how satisfying would it be for everyone in the Kings organisation to knock the Wildcats out of the play-in series?
Oh, it's always, mate, it's thrilling to knock anyone out of any series.
Yes.
To come out on top. We want to come into every game wanting to win, but of course, there's that natural rivalry that we have with the Perth Wildcats that stretched back many years, but particularly since I've been around. Yeah, it'd be fantastic too. I know there's a lot of things to happen for that to come to fruition. I think it's Cairns need to beat Perth tonight, Melbourne need to win on Sunday against Adelaide, and then it will come down, could come down to our game against Perth, where if we win that, we push them out of you know, the sixth place into the what do they call it in the NBA, the Cancun trip.
Yeah, maybe it's Rottnest Island that the Wildcats will go on the
exactly,
trip to.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe not Cancun, but we'd like to see that. Hey, Chris, great to get some time with you today. Good luck for this game tonight and, of course, the Wildcats on Sunday. And we'll keep our eye out. February 13th, the week beginning, is when we'll next see the Sydney Kings in action at Kudos Bank Arena. Thanks for your time today, Chris. Oh, I think we lost him. So there we go. Good timing on that one, Coach K. He just went into the ether. Away you go. Just before we get to the news, g'day, Jimmy. I certainly didn't have Harry from Belmore's Nether Regions on my 2 o'clock flock bingo card today. No, neither did I, Jace. Yeah, it took me a little by surprise, that one. But you never know what you get from the great age. All right, news and then back with more.